640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. President Biden has opened the annual NATO summit in Washington, strong in voice and demeanor, says CBS's Matt Piper.
With each passing day, more Democratic House members have publicly called on him to quit his campaign. Opening the summit, the president spoke with a much stronger, firmer voice than he did during the debate, hearkening back to the alliance's history and laying out the challenges ahead.
Russia will not prevail. Ukraine will prevail.
A major focus, not just for reporters, but for Democratic lawmakers, will be the president's news conference at the conclusion of the summit.
That news conference is scheduled for Thursday. The Pentagon says a Navy sailor tried to access Biden's medical records early this year, but no personal information was compromised. The sailor said the search was conducted out of curiosity. The sailor received administrative discipline and remains in the Navy. A national news anchor has found himself in the news.
ABC's George Stephanopoulos was stopped by a person on the street in Manhattan who asked if Biden should step down. The man did not identify himself, and it doesn't appear that Stephanopoulos knew that he was being recorded.
What do you think? Do you think Biden should step down? You talked to him more than anybody else have lately, and you could be honest. You don't think he can serve 4 more years? All right. That's an answer.
Stephanopoulos has issued a statement about the video posted on TMZ, saying, quote, earlier today, I responded to a question from a passerby I shouldn't have. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
A hurricane has come and gone, but the heat remains, says CBS's Omar Villafranca.
One day after Hurricane Beryl dumped flooding rains, southeast Texas is now sweltering. In the Houston area, nearly 12,000 workers are rushing to restore power as temperatures soar into the 90s.
Areas of the country that 10 or 20 years ago didn't experience damaging storms and wildfires are now in their path. And those who are in their path today sometimes don't heed warnings, says the Director of Research and Development at Argonne National Laboratory, Kyle Pfeiffer.
The storms are fundamentally changing than what we saw even a few decades ago. And so we're going to see people get caught because they've maybe not made the best decision based on how they fared in previous disasters.
A new scam is targeting iPhone users, says CBS News reporter Megan Cirillo.
Cyber criminals, instead of targeting people by email, are sending text messages and asking iPhone users for their Apple IDs.
Apple says it never asks for ID information via text message. Police in Peru say they found the body of American mountaineer William Stample, who was buried by an avalanche 22 years ago as he tried to climb one of the highest peaks in the Andes. The 58-year-old Stample and two friends were headed up a 22,000-foot mountain when they were killed. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People are urging Wisconsin lawmakers to do something about long-running problems with the state's prison system. Former guards, inmates, and relatives testified to the Assembly's Corrections Committee Tuesday. They described sexual harassment and retaliation by supervisors and food and medicine denied to inmates. Tuesday was Black Women's Equal Pay Day. The date symbolizes the pay inequality between Black women and non-Hispanic white men.
So Black women have to work all the way into July of this year to make what white non-Hispanic men would have made in 2023 alone.
Deborah Vagans is director of the Equal Pay Today Coalition. She's pressing Congress to protect all workers against retaliation for talking about their pay. That's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers get clobbered at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight at American Family Field. The final score 12-2. The Pirates with 5 home runs, including a grand slam from Pittsburgh's Joey Bates. Colin Ray giving up 1 home run. The bullpen giving up another 4 in front of 26,000 fans at home. Brewers manager Pat Murphy a short time ago.
We haven't had one of those games in a while, especially at home. We've been in every single game. I bragged to everybody about being in 85 and 90 games. But credit to the Pirates. They did a great job. Took us out of it. Not going to win a lot of games or 5 or 6 hits. You know, a couple coming in after the game was out of reach, but we had some opportunities early to at least get a little lead. And, you know, Callan had given up one hit in five innings, you know, one hit in five innings. And then all of a sudden his base is loaded and then got a breaking ball up, get hit it. Game change right there.
That's the Brewers' Pat Murphy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight, and a few showers will be likely as we head through the overnight hours. East winds in mid-60s by daybreak. On Wednesday, morning showers, then turning mostly sunny. North winds at highs in the middle 70s. It's 66 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us tomorrow from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in Chippewa Falls for the What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour 2. Trigby Olson, Pat Freitlow, and myself, be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Do you remember a while back, a pair of pictures floating around the internet? There was one of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, an older guy, being hugged by happy, smiling children. He's sort of beaming. And it was right after he signed a bill allowing free lunches during summer break. And there was another picture next to it. Usually they were shared together. We can put them up on the screen. You can look at them. I actually just sent them out. Jefferson D. Smith on the what used to be called Twitter. And that picture next to it is Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the Arkansas governor, also surrounded by kids. They are stone-faced. She is smiling. And she's the only one smiling in the picture. And it's after she signed a law relaxing child labor. It got like 60 million views. Like, people saw this thing. You may have seen it. If you haven't seen it, you should. So feeding kids who are hungry is arguably an example of good and responsive government. But good and responsive government does not just happen. It is not happenstance. It is an outcome. It is something that is done from coalition building and movement building. And joining us is a guest to discuss the process of building such a coalition to ensure, or at least promote, good and responsive government. And that's Lily Sassy, director and founder of We Choose Us. It's a coalition in Minnesota. We talk here about how do we use this national platform to put a focus on what's happening in reality, so it's not just a reality show, places where you can actually have impact, what we can learn from and put into place in our own communities. Well, Lily Sassy might have something to teach us. Lily, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Jefferson. It's good to be here.
Tell us about the We Choose Us Coalition. Who is it and how come?
Yeah, so We Choose Us, we are a coalition whose main mission is to build an inclusive, multiracial democracy in our state. We have run campaigns on multiple strategic fronts, from policy, narrative development, how we talk about our democracy, how we talk about good and responsive government, and organizing, not just mobilizing people, but cultivating and fostering people's agency in our democracy through leadership development and power building together. And we are a coalition of a broad-based coalition of unions, of small grassroots organizations, of power building organizations. We're working across issues from climate, economic and racial justice, healthcare, and so much more, good government. And, you know, we started building this coalition in January of 2021, not a coincidence, because of what happened then. And, you know, we are going on offense to demand something different, a more inclusive, multiracial, functioning democracy in our country, and protect what we do have, because it's been so blatantly under attack for so long.
How did it actually get started? What's the first move? If somebody said, wow, we need that in our state, what's sort of the first, who are the first movers, and what's the first move you make?
Yeah, well, we had identified that there was democracy was siloed in our state, and there was a vacuum of not having a broad-based coalition of folks who are working on this, and not feeling it maybe as viscerally in their lives, but it absolutely having an impact on all of the issues that our coalition partners, who are now our coalition partners, were working on. And frankly, it just started, I started listening. I did a landscape analysis or scanning and having conversations with every player I could imagine, every executive director, organizer, elected official who I knew had a vested interest in potentially being part of a coalition like this, and just asked a set of questions. Do we need this in our state? If so, what should it look like? What are some of the biggest problems you and the people that you represent specifically see in our democracy right now? And how should we get started? And it was that led to what is now our full-fledged coalition, We Choose Us.
And what were you doing prior?
What was I doing prior?
Yeah.
I was a campaign manager. I mostly worked in electoral politics.
Yeah. And how do you pick issues now? When you pick something to work on, how do you choose?
That is a great question. And frankly, what I was struggling with when I started We Choose Us, the woman I was working for previously, Representative Emma Greenman, who's a now representative, huge champion for democracy in our state, I was her campaign manager. And on that campaign, I was still struggling to pick an issue. Was it climate for me? Was it reproductive freedom for me? But on that campaign and the way that she talked about democracy, I realized democracy, having an inclusive, multiracial democracy, is so foundational to everything else. It's not just voting access and voting rights. It's about money in politics. It's about redistricting. It's about how people feel ownership and agency in our democracy, which I think we have seen for so long is decreasing year by year. And it is so critical for every issue that I care about and that our coalition members care about, that we actually have a thriving, functioning democracy that people can see themselves in order to take action on the things that we need, our communities need, and the people that we love need.
So I am here to propagandize on your behalf. It might be better if I preserved a veneer of impartiality, but I am not impartial. I think that what you're doing is tied for the most important things that are happening in the world. That I think building state-based coalitions with democracy at the forefront that are not monochromatic, not monotheistic, that try to build responsive government. I can't think of a more important or virtuous way to spend a life, and everybody, and it makes me feel bad about myself that I'm not doing something as good as you. But that's fine, because it ain't about me, Lily Sassy. What is the, how do you evaluate success? How do you decide, when do you decide to celebrate?
Yeah, I mean, there have been so many moments for us to celebrate. I think the trap that we can get ourselves caught in is policy wins only. Like, there is a lot to celebrate about the structural policy reform that we've made in Minnesota, absolutely, that people have been working on for decades. We passed the Democracy for the People Act in 2023, which included automatic voter registration, language access resources, pre-registration for 16 and 17-year-olds, more protections for voters from intimidation and harassment, and so much more, and rights restoration for the 55,000 Minnesotans who are on probation and parole, and a Minnesota Voting Rights Act, and more campus polling locations for college students so that they can vote regardless of access to transportation or time off from class. Those are all absolutely worth celebrating. I think those are definitions of success for us, but it is so much more than just policy for us. It's about people. Like in January of 2023, when we had a crew of 350 people in our Capitol Rotunda across race, across place, we had people bust in who were there talking about democracy, and we heard from legislators that was the first time they had seen anything like that, talking specifically about how do we build a more inclusive democracy. It's our core team of grassroots leaders who are showing up to drive the campaign every day, every month, every year. It's about people's agency, which is often hard to measure, but I think is worth celebrating as a success, the same as our policy wins.
Amen. What is the, we'll be with just for another minute, but the, first of all, where can people find out more? I suspect you have a website, and my guess is it's We Choose Us something. It says here, WeChooseUsMN.com. I believe MN is for Minnesota, which is a state, one of the 50 in this these United States. WeChooseUsMN.com. Is that the website?
That's right.
I want to say thank you for your work, and I don't just mean to be silly. I am that building state-based coalitions with democracy at the forefront, I think it connects with, heck, I am at an odd loss for words and trying to find an apt compliment, but I appreciate your time. Stick with us for a moment, and thanks for your work.
Of course. Thank you so much.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
This is Tom Hartman Program. We'll be back with your call in just a moment.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. Why sign up for my program's free daily newsletter over at tom.tv? Well, every morning you receive an email with a complete list of the topics we'll be covering on our weekday program. After the show's over, every afternoon, you'll get what I call Sue's Daily Stack that gives you hot links to every single story and information source that we talked about during the show. Plus, every day while the show is live, you can watch it at tom.tv without cost. That, podcast of the show, a complete library of every subject discussed on previous shows, a place to view it live, it's all at tom.tv. So why sign up to get all this at no cost? Because we want you to join us to help change the world for the better. Despair is not an option. Sign up now at tom.tv, that's T-H-O-M.tv, to get all the ammunition you need to win the water cooler wars. Tom.tv, tag, you're it.
Air on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Republican legislators continue to sit on $125 million that should be used right now to clean PFAS out of contaminated drinking water and groundwater across Wisconsin because they don't like the governor's line item vetoes, to which the proper legal response is, too bad. You don't have the votes. Stop being crybabies about it.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com.
Some people call me a space cowboy. That just music reminds me of that, okay? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Might remind you of that as well. I am not a space cowboy. I am Jeff Smith, sitting in for Tom Hartman. This is Tom's show. This is your show. We appreciate it. It is Tuesday Newsday. And thank you for listening to that that discussion. There are a few things I do hope are on our minds going forward. One, democracy at the forefront. Not as a political talking point, but as an objective, as a thing that brings us together. Two, how can we work not only federally, not only fixated on presidential races, but how can we work in our own communities? How can we build state-based and local-based coalitions? How can we find those red dots in seas of red, which usually are, excuse me, blue dots in seas of red, which usually aren't actually seas. They're not usually oceans. They're usually just some other dots. And they usually tend to just be other people. And how do we have objectives that do put human beings at the forefront and accomplish small d democratic objectives? That is why this court sits. That is why I'm honored to be here. Let us go to your phone calls. I want to hear from, who wins the most patient listener award. It's going to be Rick from Atlanta, Georgia, wins the most patient listener award. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can.
Well, always great to have you as a guest host, Jeff.
Thanks, man.
What seems to be on my mind is that with all the talk about the immunity case, one of the things that seems to have been given a little bit of short shrift is the legalized bribery that the Supreme Court issued, I don't know what it was, 2-3 days before the immunity case. And basically, it seems to me what they did was they gave themselves a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah, say more. You should explain the case.
Well, I forget exactly what the case was. I think it had to do with a waste management county or city issue in the state of Michigan. Okay. And what they did was they said that as long as the money is given after the fact,
as long as it's a gratuity,
it's not bribery.
Yeah,
it's a gratuity and it's not bribery.
Yeah.
Well, who can say when all?
And Rick, you cut out for a minute. I think I lost you. Yeah, who can say when it happens? But I'll even go further than that. And thank you for the call, and I will respond. And you also bought me time to look it up because I wanted to remember the name. And I remember the name because it's the name of my neighbor. It's not my neighbor involved in the case. It just happens to be the name of my neighbor. Snyder versus the United States, 6-3 opinion. Remember, that's Satan's number, 6-3. 6-3 is Satan's number. You didn't know that. You learned it here. And it was Justice Kavanaugh ruling. And yes, it said that if you give the gratuity afterwards, it's not bribery. Here's why it's absurd. Not only because, well, you could play games when the timing was, but here's why it's absurd. Because you could know what people are likely to give, what gratuities they're likely to give, who is likely to give them, how much they're likely to give, and you can do favors based on who is more likely to give a gratuity. So that, by the way, is a little bit like how campaign contributions work. It is illegal to say up front, if you will vote this way on a bill, we will give you this amount of money. You're not allowed to do that. But it's pretty close to what happens. Because the way it works, you go in and you know what the person wants to hear before the meeting because you're briefed on it, or you don't even need to be briefed on it. You know what they want to hear about allowing guns to be sold indiscriminately even after little kids are killed. You know what they want to hear about deregulating their industry. You know what they want to hear about making sure they get a particular subsidy. You know that in advance. And so you tell them what they want to hear. And then afterwards, they say, oh, that sounds great. Here's a campaign contribution. Not bribery. It was after the fact. I remember a time I had a meeting. And it was the closest I ever came. It was this, man, it was a lobbyist who ended up killing himself in his car. Pretty sad and tragic. And I wish I would have had a conversation with him just beforehand, how he felt about how he had spent his life and why he felt so down, why he's killed himself. Was he dealing with it? And I'm not glorifying it, and I don't like talking about suicide. It was a horrible thing. But he and I had a meeting. And he said, and I'm trying to remember the issue. The issue was, I remember the issue. The issue is he asked me how I felt about casinos off Native reservation land and how I felt about multiple casinos on a given reservation. And a friend of mine back then had been the governor, and he had a principle. It was like one, the principle they had negotiated was one casino per reservation. And I said, so I'm for that principle. I'm for the negotiated principle. I'm in favor of one casino per reservation. I had not poured into this issue, to be clear. It was my view. I don't think that rampant gambling is likely to improve the economy. Things that are likely to improve the economy are things that generate more productivity rather than just distract us from productivity. But, and I've gambled myself. I'm not a particular moralist about it. I just don't think we want to put it on steroids. I think that this much sports gambling, we're going to have to pay some piper. It's not all good. And I said my view, and he said, oh, good. Because I was ready to give you this check. I forget for how much it was. It was some number of, it was more than $1,000. And I said, and if you had turned around, and then he said this, and if you had turned around and voted the other way on this issue, I'd get fired by my client. He was a contract lobbyist. And so I realized, oh, wait a minute. So if I cash this check, have I just signed on to a binding contract? Because obviously it's not exactly a binding contract, but sort of the handshake way it works. I'm just going to say, oh, yeah, I guess now if I, so now I'm locked in. What if I evolve my view? What if I say, oh, I don't want to, I now think we should have fewer casinos or more casinos or casinos in different places or care less about if they're on reservation land and more about ecology or some other interest. I don't know. But now I have this campaign contribution based on that commitment. After the fact still counts. It still matters. Justice Kavanaugh is wrong. If you see 6-3 in a Supreme Court majority, you already know if it's wrong or not. It's wrong. It's the devil's number, Satan's number. Be aware of it. Tell your friends. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Ha ha ha. I don't do that laugh very often. I don't know if I'm going to do it again, but maybe soon.
Met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. 800-554-0206. That's 800-554-0206.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book, and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. 800-640-6298. That's 800-640-6298.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. President Biden is under a microscope in Washington at the annual NATO summit. Here's CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
President Biden welcoming members of NATO to Washington while questions swirl about his political future.
It's a pleasure to host you in this milestone year.
The annual summit is set to have a big focus on Ukraine. That country's fate could hang in the balance if Democrats lose the White House.
The hurricane has moved on from Houston, but the heat has not, as CBS's Omar Villafranca found out.
It is so hot and humid at the same time. Yeah.
No airflow.
No airflow. I would have to open up all the doors.
But if there's not a breeze.
If there's not a breeze, no.
Scammers are messaging iPhone users, posing as Apple and asking for their Apple IDs, says CBS News reporter Megan Cirillo.
It will appear to come from Apple, but it's likely from an unusual number or there will be misspellings.
Apple says it would never ask any of its users for their Apple ID via text message. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Milwaukee is getting ready for next week's Republican National Convention. County Executive David Crowley says the Office of Emergency Management and the Sheriff's Department have been especially busy.
Making sure the attendees, protesters, vendors are all safe. But we also have to make sure that we have some traffic management as well, making sure that we can have the traffic flow going through and throughout downtown to make sure our attendees are doing the things that they need to do and can get to the different convention activities.
Crowley speaking with Wisconsin Eye. Meanwhile, a federal judge is ruling that a protest group that sued Milwaukee cannot march into the hard security perimeter at the Republican convention. The American Civil Liberties Union says Milwaukee's protest plans for the RNC violate its free speech rights. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell. This is Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba.
Miranda Priestly is headed back to the big screen. Disney is developing a Devil Wears Prada sequel, according to Variety. Meryl Streep played Priestly, a boss who made the lives of her assistants, played by Anne Hathaway and Emily Blunt, a living hell. Details about returning cast are scarce, but sources say the plot of the new film will center around Priestly, butting heads with Blunt's character, who is now a high-powered fashion executive herself. The news breaks just as a live musical of the story is set to open on London's West End in October. Leonardo DiCaprio came to the rescue of a fellow Hamptons partier. The Oscar-winning actor saw a drunk person leaving a party and came to the aid of the inebriated man. According to a fellow partygoer, DiCaprio helped the man steady himself on a pole and told the man to stay there. Page Six reports that the drunk guy obeyed the orders of the famous actor. There's no word yet if the man is still clinging to the pole or if he was Justin Timberlake. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds in the overnight, and a few showers will be likely as we head through the overnight hours. East winds in mid-60s by daybreak. On Wednesday, morning showers, then turning mostly sunny. North winds at highs in the middle 70s. Right now, it's 64.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday marks the opening of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. We'll talk a bit about some of the educational aspects of what's happening in Chippewa Falls.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
To worry about potential AGEs from kibble. It's shelf stable, mess free, full of nutrients, tastes absolutely delicious to dogs. Something that you will find delicious. Save up to 54% off of Nature's Blend. Receive a free bag of Cod Krispies. Dogs can't get enough of these wild caught cod skin treats. Go to drmartypets.com/Tom or text THOM to 511-511. Again, text Tom to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Text fees may apply. And I should explain, perhaps, about my dog being at the beach. So he didn't go by himself. He doesn't drive a car. But he does like the beach. And the question off air came, does my dog like the beach? He's there with my wife. We're still married. And and I said, yes, he likes the beach, but not the way he used to. The beach used to be his favorite place. He would go there, even when he was a little puppy, and he would run around in the sand. And he, like the first, I still remember vividly, I have a picture of it, the first time that he ever played in this, he didn't know what it was. He's like, what is this thing? I must run upon it a lot. Okay, this is fascinating, I must run upon it. It's like when he first saw snow. He's like, what is this? I must run upon this as well. Okay, he loved the beach so much. And then he discovered that at the beach we go to, it's a place called Manzanita in Oregon, it's a beautiful place, there is a dog store. And he learned that if you go to the dog store and you look at them just so, and I think looking at them just so means you look at them as if you are a dog, they will give you a snack. They will give you a treat. And if you look extra cute and you're particularly persistent, they will give you two. And he realized that this was a better pursuit than running around in the sand. He had figured out what that was. Better than sniffing other dogs and playing with them, which was healthy behavior. He would want just to go to his dog store. And in fact, if we tried to go to the beach part of the beach, which for some people is why you go to the beach, is to go to the beach part of the beach, he would tug on his leash until we just went to the dog store, which is not itself on the beach. Nearby. And he would go there until he had his treats. And he would go there until he had two, sometimes three, until after that it could satiate him. I could actually pull him away. He is not big, but he is strong. And his willpower is immense. And I am weak. Not physically, but I melt to him. And he knows this and he uses it to manipulate me. And so now I told the owner, the place, you know, it, I don't know if it's new owners, from time to time there's new workers there, but I told them the best ad they could ever do is just to fix a GoPro, just to fix a little camera to his collar, and I could just let him go from the place we stay and just have him, and he would just go straight there. If I let him go, if I brought him to the beach, that would make it a better shot. He wouldn't just be walking along the sidewalk and street. If I actually took him to the beach, he would just go straight. He would not need my help at all. He knows exactly where it is. And it would be a great ad. Here's the other thing. They close sometimes. And this is borderline abusive. Because he will go and he will just stare in the window. And now what I have to do is I have to sit there at the bench with him on my lap for about 11 minutes. Until finally, because if I just try to pull him away, he'll blame it on me. I think it's my fault. I think I'm teasing him. Like, aha, here's a dog store. And the problem is, it's not like a big town. You have to walk by the dog store to go anywhere. So if they close at 4:59, heaven forbid, or we arrive at 5:07, heaven forbid, or we arrive at 6 o'clock in the evening, we want to go somewhere to get to eat, he will go there and just wait. And I'll have to sit on a little bench. I believe they put the bench outside the store for exactly that use case. Because they know the dogs require a little bit of methadone, a little bit of off-ramping, a little detox before they could leave the thing. Here's the other problem that's happened, is that about a block away from there is a hot dog stand, okay, called Mud Dogs. And what they do is they have a little, they call it a cooler. And inside that cooler, they have little hot dogs, like an inch, no comments here, please, and wrapped with tinfoil, okay? And they're free to dogs. But the dogs don't know they're there, really. I mean, that's not true. The dogs absolutely know they're there, but the dogs don't have, like, opposable thumbs, so they can't open the cooler with great facility. So they rely on their manipulation, their great powers in manipulating humans and pretending that we are in charge. And then I get the little thing, and now he knows that there is a one-inch hot dog and just waiting there for him. Anytime, they're open. And they're open for, like, 11 to 4, I think. Okay, maybe 10:30. And then a block away is the dog treat store. And that means everywhere else in the beach town is irrelevant and kind of a microaggression. Like, if I take him anywhere else, if I try to take him to the beach itself, he's like, you're doing this to harm me. You're not actually, I don't care about your intent. I am about the impact. And the impact on me is harm, emotional harm. And he blames me for this. So when somebody asks me, when I say my dog's at the beach, they say, does your dog like the beach? My answer is sorta. He sorta likes the beach. All right. Tuesday Newsday. Was that news? I don't know. I don't even know if you care about dogs. Probably don't care about mine, but I do. And speaking of which, my dog's name is George, and on the air is not my dog, but a wonderful person named George from California. You're on the air, George.
Can you hear me there, Jeff?
I can, yes.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'd like to make a follow-up call, or follow-up comment, rather, on Judy's call this morning about Tom's response to the debate the morning after.
Yep.
And a couple of things that would make me a big fan of the Tom Hartman shows are callers like Judy, Kenyatta, Morrison Long Beach, and so on and so on and so on.
Amen.
And I also think that, you know, Tom is a warrior when it comes to defending democracy, and these days that can be very exhausting.
Sure it is.
So I kind of let him off the hook for that. But then also, as the day went on, if people will remember, his callers were able to actually talk him in off that ledge a little bit. And so I think, you know, Tom's response was a little bit of exhaustion, and coincidentally now he's on vacation, and I'm sure he's recharging his battery, and he's going to come back full of energy and, you know, carry on the fight. And I'd like to say one more thing.
Please.
My all-time favorite description of Donald Trump was what Rex Tillerson said when he resigned from his Department of Energy appointment.
Yeah.
When he said that Trump was an effing moron.
Yeah.
That sums it up right there.
Yeah. Well, I want to say thank you, George. And I can't speak for Tom, but I can say this. And thank you for the phone call. That we're smarter in community. I think it's one of the things community is for. That I think that human beings are not merely consumers. They're not merely eaters of stuff that someone makes. That we make stuff together. And that we're smarter together than we are apart. And the example I like to use, I may have used it before. I've definitely used it before. I don't remember if I've used it on the air. But I will promise to use it again. Remember the show? Might still be on. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I used to watch the show a little bit because my co-clerk, guy I went to law school with, made his way through law school, paid for law school, by being a three-day champion on Wheel of Fortune, and he was a game show addict. He loved game shows, still does. He's now a professor at University of Washington Law School. And we were clerking in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals the same year. I believe it was the very first year of Survivor and the first year of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I could be wrong about that, but I think it was the first year of both. I'm pretty confident it was the first year of at least one of them. And I would not watch for the most part, but then we would go to lunch after the day after, and he would debrief the strategy on Survivor and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And they're cherished memories. I know they sound weird. And he had a pretty specific theory, and I agreed with it. When it came to the lifelines on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, so the best lifeline, well, you know, there were three. There was narrowed down to two. You could ask the audience, or you could phone a friend. And narrowed down to two, we both thought, well, it almost always feels like it's down between two, and so that doesn't seem to help out that much for the really hard questions. And so we said, no, the best lifeline is phone a friend, because you can have a panel of experts, you can have sort of your smart friend, you can call your friend about that subject. Well, it turns out, and I agree with him, but it turns out he was wrong, therefore we were wrong. The best lifeline is, in fact, ask the audience. That all of us are smarter than any of us. And there is an exception, by the way. There's a powerful exception. If the contestant who wants to be a millionaire would say something like, oh, I think it might be B, that would taint the sample, and all of a sudden the audience wouldn't get it wrong, wouldn't get it right as frequently. And this, to me, is a helpful illustration of democracy, that I actually think the people get it right most of the time. And they get it right more often than a given expert. I think that. And that includes, I don't know if I'm an expert, but I think the people are more often smarter than me being a person. I think that. That exception also applies, which is we have so much oligarchic capital. We have so much political advertising. We have so much bought and paid for media, so much motivated reasoning, so many people yelling, I think it might be B. And it's just messing the sample, just making us a worse audience than Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Billionaires yelling, who wants it? I think it's B. And so when you talk about how Tom learns from this audience, so do I. This is the political radio show and more that has the smartest audience of any of them. Listen to the others and you'll know. Don't listen to them long. Come back here, please. And it makes all of us smarter. We learn in community. We're all smarter together than we are apart. Thank you.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's quite a day today. It's quite a day. We'll be right back.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute.
Today, I want to talk about one of my favorite ways to think about budgeting, saving, and overall financial health. It's called pay yourself first. It's a little counterintuitive, right? Like, wait, I'm going to pay me? Really? Yes, sirree. You're the one that earns your money. And that means that your savings, you know, your investment in your future, ideally gets paid before you even notice your paycheck hitting your checking account. To pay yourself first, you pick an amount and then you automatically transfer that to a savings account. It could be 15%, it could be 20 bucks. Just start wherever you're comfortable. Doing this ensures that you're always funding your future and that your savings goals are safe from the temptations of the weekly spend. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, take good care.
Threshold.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
So the call that happened during the break was asking, and this is a good question because I have not done a state-by-state analysis. It was, if Trump were sentenced, would that keep him off the ballot in some states? And is that why there has been a delay in sentencing? It's a good question. I'm not gonna just shoot from the hip. But here's the text I would be looking for. The text I'd be looking for is if somebody said that eligibility to stand for election is an eligible voter. And then also if that place had a rule against felons being eligible voters. But the other issue that I've been analyzed is in fact a federal supremacy rule that would allow, that would state electoral rules be allowed to wag the dog of federal election eligibility. And I'm a little embarrassed that I haven't already dug into that and haven't seen other people dig into it, but that's how I would start parsing the question, so I'm at least not dodging the question fully. But let me look for another question to dodge. Let's go to Norma from Montgomery, Alabama. Go ahead, Norma.
Oh, hi. I had to hit the button. One of the things that I have been doing, like I tried to tell you last week, was I do the walking and talking. Can you hear me?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I guess TV's a little bit behind us. But yesterday, when I was out, I donated clothes to a homeless shelter. And I started talking there. And as I talk about Project 2025, I tell them to read the summary, and I tell them what I have read in it. But I also mention the fact that this summary does not cover everything, and Project 2025 does not also, because these people also want to call for constitutional convention. And if we have a new constitution written under a Republican president like Trump, I sincerely believe we will lose all rights, and this may be the last time we ever vote. And also, people are forgetting about right to work. That eliminates minimum wage, and it's still hanging out there. And when you get rid of things like the education department, here across the Confederate South, there are laws that your children must attend school until they're 16. If there's no longer any public schools and you don't have a minimum wage, how will people pay to send their children to school? They will be arrested in these states and thrown in jail. And so people need to be aware of what's going on. And the best thing that we can do is stop worrying about polls. Stop worrying about what Joe Biden does or does not do. We have to worry about the down ballot. If we lose the House and we lose the Senate, we will be as hamstrung as Obama was during the last part of his presidency, with no way to get a bill through anything. And I stop in the grocery store. Being a tall person, I asked somebody in a wheelchair, do you need anything off the top? Well, I'm 5'10", which in the South for a woman is a little tall. But
you say in the South. Are women in the South shorter?
Most of them are. I usually stick out over people.
Interesting.
And,
all right.
Yeah, and then, too, I have a very long wingspan, you know.
What's your wingspan?
But about 36 inches on each side. I never have been able to buy a long-sleeve shirt or a long-sleeve shirt.
Fantastic. Did you ever play basketball?
Yeah.
Or volleyball?
Uh-huh.
Did you ever play basketball or volleyball?
I played basketball in junior high when Kennedy was still president, and then after that, and we had civil rights, my father would not allow me to have anything to do with sports because we were sharing the locker room with black girls. And
oh
so I was pulled out of sports, even though I was running track.
Oh, my. Anyway, I took you. Yeah. Thank you for that story. I took you off track, but finish your point, please, or your question.
But, you know, like I said, I'm in the grocery store, and I ask somebody in a wheelchair or short elderly people if they need help. And then I start talking to them, and I tell them I'm scared that we will lose Social Security and tell them why.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm frightening people, but I'm trying very hard to wake up white people. It's very difficult
and
to
normal,
speak to white people here in the South.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate you doing it.
And if we don't.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I can't do this by myself. I'm just one old white woman with a mouth. And the rest of you need
and
to get
arms.
Out of your chairs and off a line and go out and talk. We used to talk to people.
Yeah.
I can remember my father sitting in the deli talking to people, and we would listen and learn. I can remember my mother having garden club and neighborhood clubs and neighborhood parties, and the adults would talk to each other. But what they did is they have scared us to the point where we're afraid to talk to a stranger. We're afraid to socialize.
Yeah.
COVID did not help. But if you don't get back to having the relationships, you know, they're talking about having a neighborhood party next week at a church. I said it would be much better to do it at the community center because a lot of the young people do not want to go to church. And they're gonna stay away because they'll be afraid they're being invited to join the church.
No, I get it. But the point I want to pull out, Norman, thank you so much for the phone call. I want to try to get in one more phone call before the break. Is the power of the human voice, the power of relationship. In an era of artificial intelligence, an era of social media, an era of digital bombardment, the power of the human relationship is increased. It's increased. So the work you're doing is even more powerful. People ought to be going out and doing it. One of the best ways to deal with stress. Let's go to the most patient listener award. Sean, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, no, you already announced your presence with authority, Sean.
I'm sorry. Oh, by my heart. Okay. The reason I wanted to call in was I want to talk about the Pride 2025 as the Supreme Court ruling on immunity.
Sean, hold on a second.
How they're tied together.
Are you having a meal?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry about that.
No, you're doing good, man. So Project 2025,
okay.
What about it?
All right, what happened is that I noticed something, and that is that the way they did this ruling was that it was done in such a way that it was very confusing to the average person, and only those on the Supreme Court know what is happening. And that's because that it was only for them to know and us to find out later, and that way they could be part of the ruling class.
No, Sean, there's a really critical point in what I heard you say. The Supreme Court should be focused on greater accessibility, should be focused on empowering more people, instead of trying to be even cloaked further by robes and marble and secrecy.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Did you know your dog's food could be harming them? Dr. Marty says there's one major red flag to look out for: cooked dog food, like kibble or canned food. When dog food is cooked at high temperatures, the amino acids often overheat, and that can create dangerous compounds called AGEs, or advanced glycation end products. AGEs can cause dangerous buildup in your dog's system and make them act slower or older than they are. High amounts may even be connected to cancer. It's tricky because even healthy and organic dog food is often cooked at high temperatures. That's why Dr. Marty created his own formula called Nature's Blend. It's freeze-dried raw, so you don't need to worry about potential AGEs from kibble. It's shelf-stable and mess-free. It's full of nutrients. Our dogs Blue and Chewy absolutely love it. Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of Cod Krispies. Our dogs can't get enough of these wild-caught codskin treats. Just go to drmartypets.com/THOM or text Tom to find...
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
When President Biden wanted to set the record straight, he called Civic Media Network's Earl Ingram Show.
I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
Hear the complete conversation now at civicmedia.us.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.